Hey kids, today's beverage is a glass of Domaine Chandon Blanc de Noir, California's answer to champagne. Oh, yeah, that's good. And I'm drinking it because I feel hopeful about this election. I have to be honest, up until about a week ago, I was scared shitless about the outcome. I was convinced that the fix was in, especially with all the electronic voting going on nationwide. However, over the past week, I have experienced a complete change. It now feels like the last days of the Tour de France, when Lance was so far out in front that if he just didn't fall off his bike or had someone run him over with their car, he'd win a record 6th tour in a row. I feel that way now about a Kerry landslide. Yes, I said landslide. Okay, you think I'm crazy. How have I come to this change of heart? Well, I know that the early voters are predominantly Kerry, and they've been out in droves. I also know that out of all the new voters who've recently registered, there are far more Democrats than Republicans. I know that even with long, 5-hour-plus lines and things in place to attempt to intimidate the left, people are still voting and waiting in the 5-hour lines and not allowing themselves to be intimidated or their votes to be suppressed. I know there are more pissed-off registered Dems and Indies than anyone else, and some Republicans who have finally awoken and feel betrayed and duped. I also know the polls are as wrong as they can be, so to hell with them. I know the cell phone factor and the fact they are only calling people who actually answer the phone, have a phone, don't have caller ID, and are not at one of their 3 jobs trying to make ends meet. I know that we will win this thing big time. The only thing I am worried about is if no one knows it. Let's face it, the BFEE has had 4 years to perfect what they did last time, and I know they've been busy. I also know how scared they are. I mean, they're hiring people in advance to try to stop people from voting and not being subtle about it, which is making almost every newspaper in the country. Here's what scares me. We know that Bush's cousin at Fox Horror News called it for him for Florida last time. We also know that NBC has hired Rush Limbaugh to do the same nationwide this time. And Rush would rather swallow glass and give up his drugs than call it for Kerry. So now that the media is more consolidated, thanks to Michael Powell, and the BFEE have had 4 years to get the media comfortably in bed with them, how much do you think they'll be involved this time? Will they all call it for Bush? Couple that with the electronic voting machines. I also heard that the Associated Press will be the only source for the vote count. So, what happened to the independent exit polling? I think the numbers for Kerry are going to be so overwhelming it will be enough to still take it even if all the e-votes go to Bush. But if the media lies about it, what then? One good thing is people are smarter now. They are more distracted by video games and the mindless media, which does make for a national pandemic of attention deficit disorder. It also leaves the weak-minded very susceptible to the brainwashing that the neocons have become very good at. We are looking at a cult on a massive scale. Face it. There are Republicans who would support and follow Bush even if he raped and killed babies on pay-per-view. Nothing can sway them. They are so indoctrinated. However, if you've noticed lately, some are slowly waking up. The fog is lifting and the haze is clearing. They're starting to see the truth, and when they do, they're first going to feel duped, which they've been, then betrayed. Once they feel that, they're going to be very, very angry. I think the wave has just begun, and it's going to get much bigger. Just like Bush says, you can run, but you can't hide. But I'm adding, from the truth. And the truth is going to bite them in the ass. Sure, there's a chasm of a division in this country, but we're standing on the rock of truth, and the earth on the other side is like shifting sand that is melting beneath their feet, because it's all an illusion. The chasm, like the sand, will melt, and may not go away totally, because there are always going to be those who live in denial, but it's going to get smaller. If our numbers are as overwhelming as I know they can be, Tuesday is going to be a big wake-up call for them, because it's not going to be as close as the media has tried to paint it. Vote early in the day if you haven't already voted or sent in your absentee ballot. They're expecting a minimum of 70% nationwide. Don't wait until after work when they're running out of ballots, which they will. Vote as soon as your polling place opens if you haven't already voted. Your work must give you the time off to vote. It's the law. Trust me on this one. And if anyone becomes aware of any problems or confusion on Election Day, call one of these numbers. Protect and promote the vote at 877-321-VOTE or the Move On Hotline at 866-MY-VOTE-1. That's 866-MY-VOTE and the number 1. Or Election Protection Lawyers Emergency Hotline, 866-OUR-VOTE. That's 866-O-U-R-VOTE. So, until next time, I've got the champagne chilling and ready. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
The IRS has requested that I tell you a little bit about my trip last week. Lots of people have been writing, Bart, why did you leave just before the election? Well, we kind of had some duty to do. We were offered a spectacular offer, and a man in my position needs to take all the free vacations he can, if you know what I mean. So that's what we did. And let me tell you right now, there's nothing in this story you need to hear. If you're not into the stories, if you don't want to hear any trip reports, you don't want to hear any poker talk, you don't want to hear any tequila talk, then yeah, then just go right to the next section. Then just go right to the next section. Then just go right to the next section, because all this is going to be, this is just IRS stuff. This is just tequila and poker and hotels and stuff. So yeah, feel free to skip this part. You ain't missing out on nothing. We flew to Lost Wages, landed, grabbed us a rental car. Oh, and let me say something about, as we were leaving Las Vegas, skip to the end, way to go, Bart, we saw that Payless rented cars in Las Vegas rents Camrys. That's what we're going to do next time. This time we landed, we rented a piece of crap LeSabre from Avis. They call this a luxury car. This is a terrible car. It felt and drove like a 1990. You know, I was at the car lot for a lot of years. And generally, the boss would put me in a 95 Grand Am or, yeah, LeSabre, Bonneville, something, you know, a 9-10-year-old car. That's what this felt like. It was just a real piece of crap. I will probably never rent from Avis again, or at least I'm not going to rent one of those. It was just so terrible. Remember last time we did this in Chicago, I rented a piece of crap Mustang, a brand new, whatever, 50th edition Mustang. It was terrible. I mean, come on, Detroit, what's wrong with you? We need more rental cars to rent out Japanese cars. That's what we need. These car rental agencies, they need to go Japanese, because Japan makes a really good car. And I'm not saying Detroit doesn't make a good car. I'm just saying the cars I've ridden in or driven from Detroit were not good cars. Okay, we land, we get this piece of crap. 65 and raining. Hello, is this Las Vegas? Did we land in the wrong city? 65 and raining. So Mrs. Bart says, I want to see some sharks. And I was looking for a little buffet, you know. Nothing like hitting, The plane leaves here at 7 o'clock, so we had to geez get up at 4:30. You know, plane leaves at 7, it lands 8 o'clock Vegas time, so I've been up 4, 5, 6 hours. I'm ready to eat something, and I'm thinking, oh, a big giant Vegas buffet, but no, Miss Bart wanted to see some sharks. And we had this and that we had to keep an eye on time-wise, so instead of the giant Vegas buffet, we went to Jack in the Box, where I got me a breakfast jack. Breakfast jack is real nice, and we don't have those in K-Drag, so when we're out of town, sometimes we had us a... I know that is so interesting to you. So, we went to see the sharks. Actually, she had a lot better time than I did. I just don't care. It's a bunch, you know, there's sharks swimming around, and there's some fish, and oh, look, there's a... We saw a, what's it called, a sawtooth shark? Maybe not. You know, a thing that's got a big saw on its nose. Pretty weird. Okay, so we get done with that. We meet up with Scary, and we go to the Border Grill at the fabulous Mandalay Bay. It was 11 o'clock. They were just opening the doors when we got there. So I went in. They said, would you like to see a menu? I said, no. Show me a tequila list. So they showed me a tequila list, and they had some Herradura Selection Suprema El Gave, whatever it's called, $35 a shot. You can get it for $25 at the Hard Rock. $35 a shot, and Scary's going, you want to go for that? I'm going, yeah. Scary was our host. He was very generous. They also had, I never heard of this before, Don Julio 1942. Ooh, boy. So I said, yes, give us a shot of each of those. So we each had a shot of Don Julio 1942 and a shot of Selection Suprema Herradura, whatever that's called. And for $70 for two shots, hey, you should get oral sex for $70 and two shots of tequila. But we settled for a really nice, Mrs. Bart got a Corlejo Reposado Margarita. And the three of us went out there and sat on the... And it's real cool how they got this. You ever get to Vegas, go to the Border Grill at the Mandalay Bay, especially if it's raining, because they got this outdoor deal with the roof over it. So we sat there and just watched the rain hit the palm trees and sipped on our tequila. It was the perfect start to a big week. Oh, boy, big party. After that, it was time to play some poker. We're going to do two things in Vegas. We're going to drink some tequila. We're going to play some poker. So we go over to the Palms, where our host secured us a couple of rooms. So we get into the rooms, get all that put away. Now it's time to play some poker, by damn. So me and Scary, I'll have to bite my tongue because I can't say his real name, but me and Scary went to play some poker. When we get down there, we don't know what's going on. So we get to the poker room and say, how does this work? And they said, well, we got the $2 and $4 games here. And over there, we got the $4 and $8 games. And, you know, I'm not a big gambler. Much as I talk about gambling, I like to gamble small. But $4 and $8 just don't get it. You don't fly to Vegas to bet $4 or $8. You know, if I get a great hand, if I get a pair of aces or I get a straight or I get a flush or something, I don't want to win $8. That's just crazy. So we went over to the high roll. Now, what do they call it? High stakes poker room. Ooh. Now, at the high stakes poker room, it's a minimum $100 buy-in, maximum $500 buy-in, which is fine. I mean, you know, how many thousands am I going to bet? So we get there, and Scary pulls a wad of bills out of his pants. You know, like in the old days, you know, you talk about a wad of bills, that's what he had. And I said, what in the hell is that? And he said, well, you said we're going to Vegas to play some poker, so I went to the bank, I got $9,500. I mean, you don't want to get the $10,000 because you got to fill out the IRS form, so I got the $9,500. I'm thinking, well, dude, didn't you know you're going with me? I'm going to Vegas to bet $10,000 on the poker. Yeah, that's right. I'd be sure and cut that out. 617. So we get there, and oh, it was set up pretty nice, though. One thing before I forget to tell you, they have an automatic shuffling machine. These are new. If you watch the Poker Superstar Invitational, whatever that's called on Fox that they have from the Palms, you have one. They show this little deal. It's a little deal about the size of a shoebox that's built into the table. You press a button, the lid pops up, and there's a freshly shuffled deck. So you put the deck you want to be shuffled into the right, and you pull this deck out from the left and close the little door, and you, how'd it go? And start shuffling. And that works pretty good. I mean, it saves, you know, more money for the casino. No sense in 10 poker players sitting there watching the dealer shuffle. The casino can't make no money. Everybody watching the dealer shuffle. Okay, so here's the deal. I did not know they did this. See, the only poker I know about is what we play and what has been on TV on the World Poker Tour. But what they have, if you're not playing a tournament, the blinds don't go up. Now, those of you who don't play poker don't care. But the blinds don't go up. The blinds were $2 and $5. Which means, fellow like me, see, I can't gamble. All I can do is You know, I can pretend gamble, and if I get ahead, then I can gamble. But I can't go out there and lose money. So, blinds are $2 and $5, which means for $7, I get to see 10 hands. Now, I did the math. That's 70 cents per hand, and that's a pretty good deal. Because if you get crap in your hand, you throw it away, and you've lost 70 cents. Hey, that's okay. But the thing is, if you get something good in your hand, and there's part of the story to come, you can go wild with it. Okay, so there's Scary. He's betting like crazy. He gets a 6 and a 7. He's betting $50. And I'm sitting there. Even if I got a good hand, I can't bet $50 unless I have the hand. Okay, so mostly I'm doing a lot of sitting around watching him play poker. We're at the table. I'm playing too, but 9 out of 10 hands I have to throw away. But then again, hey, we played for a while. It was kind of uneventful. But the good news is they're force-feeding us the fine tequila. I had to write down Herradura. I checked out the bar before I got to the table. They had Herradura and Patron Añejo. So I said, lady, bring me the Herradura Añejo, and I'll give you an extra dollar if you make it a really, really big one. And so she did. She started bringing me double or triple shots of the Herradura Añejo, and you can't beat that. So for 70 cents, I made him lose money. As a matter of fact, as time went by, she eventually came over and said, I'm sorry, we're out of the Herradura. I said, hey, Scary, I drank the palms out of Herradura Añejo. And he laughed and said, I think that says more about the palms than it does your drinking ability, which he is right. So they started bringing the Patron Añejo. I was like, hey, you can keep bringing this all day. So we played for a while, got hungry. He'd been up all night the night before, and then they jacked him around at the airport. He was supposed to leave at 8 o'clock, and they left at noon. So he's been at the airport for 4 hours, a lot of yak, yak, yak. By the time we got to Vegas, had a meal, had a couple of drinks, he started feeling wimpy. So he said, as previously corroborated on the page, we went to Morton's. We shut down the poker game, maybe 5 o'clock, went over to Morton's. And oh, you ought to see Scary in a restaurant. He picks up a menu, and he says, bring me this page. And I was like, dude, but yeah, bring me some of this, some of that. He says, these appetizers, bring one of everything. Then he orders this, Donald Pinsky, some kind of wine. It was a whole lot of money. And of course, the dude comes over and he shows him the cork. And I don't get into all that. Mrs. Bart drinks $5 wine. What's she drink? She drinks, what's the name of that? You don't care. She drinks a bottle of wine. And to me, $5 wine is $5 wine. But here's Scary ordering this very expensive wine. Then he ordered this expensive water. I mean, hey, Scary is a nut to go eat dinner with. So we get back to the hotel to the Fabulous Palms. And he's ready to crash. So he takes him a little nap. I go back to the poker table. Now, see, it's a little easier for me to gamble at the poker table when Scary's not there. Because he likes to, if he has cards in his hand, he wants to bet. And me, I just don't have that depth. So I get there. We're playing a little while. I get up a little bit. I get up $30, $40, $50. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, I give me an ace and a six of hearts on the deal. And so, yeah, it comes around to me. I put in my $2, No, I put in my $5. And then they threw up the flop. The flop was all hearts. That means if the board doesn't pair up, that means I can't lose. The only thing that can beat, they call it the nut flush if you have the ace in your hand. And I had that ace. So the only thing that can beat an ace is a straight flush or a full house or four of a kind. I mean, that just doesn't happen hardly. If the board doesn't pair up, I can't be beaten by a full house, and you can look and see if a straight's possible. Well, a straight can't beat a flush anyway, so the straight flush I had to keep an eye on, but, it was like a 2 and a king and a 7, so yeah, nothing was going to stretch. So I knew I had it wired. This is so much fun. You don't know how much fun it is to be in Vegas at a poker table and to have the game won. And the game's still going. And they want to know, how much money do you want to bet? It's like, yes, I'd like to bet some, please. So I bet heavy. Like, I bet $50. I mean, I can't lose. I thought to myself, I'm either going to make a lot of money on this hand, or I'm going to learn a valuable poker lesson that I will remember for a long time. So I shove $50 in there. Guy next to me, he bumps $100. The guy next to him, or whatever, down the row, he goes all in with like $250. And I was, hello, I'm looking, I'm going to get a little nervous. My heart's beating a little faster now, a little shallow on the breathing. I'm looking at my cards, I cannot lose this hand. So I said, okay, I went whatever, 200. And then this guy to my left again, he raises up again. So altogether, by the time all three of us went in, there was over $1,000 in the pot. Now you're talking excitement. Ooh, boy, now you got excitement. But it was short-lived because we turn over the cards and say, dude, you won. And they pushed a whole bunch of, I was chip leader all of a sudden. I was just rolling in chips. Matter of fact, the next hand I got, I forgot what it was, but I won that too. And they were yelling at me like, dude, can we play some poker? Because I'm still stacking my chips. That was a whole lot of fun. So I ended up winning probably $400 that day. Ooh, I never had so much fun playing some poker. All right, so I cashed out. I'm 400 ahead. I'm in Vegas. I'm gambling. I'm 400 ahead. I'm playing poker with the big boy. Back up to the room. I think we watched the Cardinals win that night. Let me see. This was Wednesday. Yeah, they won Wednesday, and they won Thursday. So this is Wednesday. So then Thursday, Scary had to leave Thursday night, so he wanted to gamble all day. So that's what we did, like a couple of addicts. We sat there at the poker table, and we had him bring food and drink to us. The only thing we couldn't have him do was go to the bathroom for us. We had to do that on our own. But we had him bring food to us, and we just sat there. He gambled from noon till 10. I'm married. I got a wife at the house, or at the room upstairs. I can't go 10 hours. You know, she's up there ordering movies and room service, so she was happy, but I just couldn't leave her. So about 5 o'clock, I went up there, watched Cardinals win. Jim Edmonds, bottom of the 11th. Oh, so, and I know they lost, and, you know, too bad about the Cardinals, but here they were in the playoffs to get to the World Series. Tie game, I forget, it was like 6-6, and the bottom of the 11th, and there's Edmonds standing there. He's left-handed batter. He smacks one, and that's got to be a really, really nice feeling when you're a professional baseball player and you're in the playoffs, bottom of the 11th, and you smack a ball. In between the thwack of the bat hitting the ball and the feeling, you know, I don't know. I mean, I played Little League when I was a kid, but when you've hit as many home runs as Jim Edmonds has, you know when you hit it pretty much whether or not it's going to go. And the second he hit it, he knew it was gone, and he just raised his fist. Yes, I just put my team in the World Series. What a cool moment. Okay, so that was Thursday. So then Friday we wake up. We're heading to Los Angeles. Now, this was kind of the big reason for our trip. When Scary heard that we were going to land in Vegas and drive to L.A., he said, why don't I meet you over there early? Hey, cool. So we had that much fun. So we're driving to L.A. We were looking for a friendly little drive in the desert, you know? I mean, we enjoy driving. You got your wide open spaces, you got your mountains, you got your desert, you got your little bit of scenery. I mean, some people like to look at trees and stuff for scenery. Mrs. Bart, when she likes to get away, she likes to get away. So we're out in the desert, hundreds of miles of nothing. Anyway, so we arrive in L.A. Oh, you wouldn't believe this place. First, we met the lovely Kathy. So she met us with the key. And boy, you should have seen this place. It was right on Ocean Boulevard, Ocean Avenue. You ever been to Santa Monica? Ocean Boulevard is the boulevard by the ocean. And he had a fifth floor suite. It was an apartment. But it was just real fine. It got your view of the ocean. It was such a fancy place, I got to tell you. Not only did it have objects d'art hanging around the room, I mean, how often do you get a room like that? But it also had a bidet in the bathroom. Now, this is weird. I've never stayed in a place that had a bidet before. And I don't want to know nothing about it. I don't know nothing about it. I don't want to know nothing about it. But I will say one thing. It would be my guess, now, don't get upset here, but it would be my guess, you're probably supposed to aim the same direction as the toilet. I mean, you sit on a toilet, you got your back to the wall. I don't know how a bidet works, but I notice how awkward if you sit on the bidet the same way you sit on a toilet, all the controls are behind you. There's a bunch of controls. Again, I don't want to know what they do. I have no interest. I don't care. But there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 knobs, and I'm going, hey, I don't want to know. But whatever happens there, I can't imagine reaching behind you and turning all the knobs. It just seems like it makes more sense to put the controls up front. But hey, what do I know about a bidet? I mean, what am I, French? You're unbelievable.
This is not a pansy liberal show. It's Bart Cop Radio.